If you would turn now to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. This is the word of the Lord. And I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then I said, "Where are you going?" And he said to me, "To measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length." And behold, the angel who talked with me came forward, and another angel came forward to meet him and said to him, "Run, say to that young man, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls, because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst. Up, up, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord. Up, escape to Zion, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus said the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall become plunder for those who served them. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come, and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. And I will dwell in your midst, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And the Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling." In his third vision in the night, Zechariah sees a man with a measuring line in his hand. And when Zechariah asks the man where he is going, the man replies, "To measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length." As we saw last Lord's Day, this man is that same man from the first vision, the man riding on a red horse. And so this man is the angel of the Lord. And so he is the Lord. Specifically, a revelation of the Son of God. The man with a measuring line is a revelation of Christ, through whom and for whom all things were made. The verbs to measure and to see, they are suggestive of creative activity. They are suggestive of the work of creation. And this is indeed what we have in the third vision, the work of a new creation, the creation of a heavenly Mount Zion, a heavenly Jerusalem, the builder and founder of which is God himself. When God stretches out his measuring line over Jerusalem, he is declaring it to be his handiwork. He is declaring it to be a city made without hands that is not of this creation. And this is in contrast to the kingdoms of the earth represented in the second vision by the four horns. These horns, as you will remember, together they represent the project of Babel, or the project of Babylon, that city made with human hands, the tower of which its top reaching to the heavens, that man might there exalt himself as God in the heavens, that man might there oppose the Lord of heaven. The horns of this tower, the horns of this kingdom, they exalt themselves over against God. They exalt themselves over against his people. The idolatrous nature of this kingdom and its origins with sinful man. The idolatrous nature of this kingdom and its origins with sinful man are revealed in the four craftsmen whom God appoints to cast down the horns of that kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 17, the prophet declares, "All the nations are as nothing before the Lord. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness." And the prophet then asks in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18, "To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? An idol?" A craftsman casts it. In Isaiah chapter 40, the kingdoms of this world, they are as nothing before God, and their idols are as nothing before God. An idol, it depends for its existence upon a craftsman. It depends for its existence upon human hands. And so just as a craftsman can create an idol, so also can he destroy it. It is nothing. It is emptiness. And so it is in Zechariah, in his second vision in the night, the craftsman casts down the horns of the nations, revealing their glory and power to be the glory and power of an idol, less than nothing and emptiness. But the glory of Jerusalem, the glory of Zion, it is not the glory of an idol. It is not the glory of this world. It is the glory of the Lord. God is in the midst of her. I will be a wall of fire all around her. I will be the glory in her midst. This wall of fire, it is not a wall of protection. For the life of the heavenly Jerusalem is a life of rest. It is a life of peace. All her enemies destroyed. The wall of fire around her, it is a boundary of holiness. In Revelation chapter 21, concerning this city and its wall, we read in verse 27, "Nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." fire around her and within her. It is the holiness of the Lord. It is the fulfillment of that sign given to Moses on the mountain in the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. The angel of the Lord appears to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And so in Zechariah, in his vision, it is a vision of God dwelling with His people, and He appears as a fire that burns in their midst but does not consume them. Now here it is worth noting the similarity between Zechariah's vision of glory and the biblical vision of hell. Now, this is not to say that they are the same. Indeed, they are not. But they have this in common. They have in common the burning holiness of the Lord in their midst. For His enemies, that fire is unending torment. But for His people, it is unending delight. As that fire burns and does not consume them, as they reflect His glory, as they reflect His holiness, that fire testing them and approving them to the praise of His glorious grace. In Zechariah's third vision in the night, Zechariah sees the grace and the glory which God has prepared for His people. And in Zechariah's third vision in the night, we see this grace and glory promised not only to Israel, but also to the Gentiles, to all the nations of the earth. It is a revelation of the mystery of Christ, a mystery that is revealed to us in two paradoxes. The first in verses 6 and 7, the second in verses 9 through 11. In verse 6, we hear, "Up, up, flee from the land of the north," declares the Lord. Now this is similar to what is heard in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 11, where the Lord is likewise calling His people to return to Zion. There we hear in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 11, "Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord." And Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, he understands this to be fulfilled in the church. The church who is the temple of the living God. And if we interpret Zechariah chapter 2 as Paul interprets Isaiah chapter 52, we are better prepared to understand the paradox of Zechariah chapter 2. The first paradox, however, it is not immediately clear. It requires us to translate the text slightly differently than the ESV does in verse 6. In verse 6, God explains his call to his people to flee Babylon thus, "For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord." And if we translate the text this way, as the ESV does, the reason which God gives is the reason for which his people are in Babylon, not the reason for which they are to leave Babylon. But a better translation of the text would read, "Not for I have spread you, but for I am spreading you. For I am spreading you abroad as the four winds of the heavens." Now translated this way, the reason which God gives is the reason for which he commands his people to leave Babylon, because he is spreading them abroad as the four winds of the heavens. However, if we translate the text in this way, we have something of a paradox, because in verse 7, the goal of leaving Babylon is not the ends of the earth, but Zion. Where are the people to flee? To the corners of the earth? Or to Zion? Now, the image begins to make sense if we remember how Jerusalem, how Zion is revealed in verse 4. It is revealed in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 4, as a tent village without walls. It is a village without walls. It is without borders. On account of what? On account of the multitude of people who dwell within it. It is without borders because those borders extend to the ends of the earth. To flee to the ends of the earth, then, is to flee to Zion. Now, explaining the text in this way corresponds to the explanation of the second paradox. The second paradox, beginning in verse 8, the angel of the Lord, he is sent by the Lord to the nations that plundered his people whom he calls the apple of his eye. And the angel of the Lord declares, "Behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall become plunder to his people, and then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me." These words picture the angel of the Lord being sent to the nations of the earth to overcome God's enemies, that his enemies who plundered his people, that they themselves might become plunder to God's people. But in verse 11, which parallels verse 8, we read this: "And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people." In verse 8, the nations appear as plunder for the people of God. But in verse 11, they appear as fellow heirs of His kingdom, called His people, God dwelling in their midst. And here again, the angel declares, "Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." And so we may ask, are God's people spread to the ends of the earth? Or are they gathered to Zion? Are the nations their plunder? Or are the nations fellow heirs of the promise? And the answer is both. Remember, Zechariah, he is speaking to God's people. He is speaking to God's people in the land. They have already departed from Babylon. They have already gathered to Mount Zion. But God is not calling them to the Jerusalem below, but to the Jerusalem above. A Jerusalem that is not defined by the borders of the kingdoms of this world. A Jerusalem that extends to the four corners of the earth, as far as the four winds of the heavens, to every nation, to all tribes and peoples and tongues. And these have become plunder to that Jerusalem above, the Jerusalem that is free. Not that their worldly possessions may become hers, but that they themselves might become her possession. That they themselves might become her citizens. That they themselves might become her people, citizens of heaven, the people of God. Zechariah's third vision in the night is a revelation of the mystery of Christ. A mystery which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed. That the Gentiles are fellow heirs. That you are fellow heirs. Members of the same body. Partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Christ has been made a light for the nations, that His salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And so you, by birth Gentiles, you are now the daughter of Zion. You are the daughter of Zion. The Lord has come to dwell in your midst. Daughter of Zion. Now and forever. sing and rejoice. Whatever befalls you, whatever you lose, now and forever, sing and rejoice. Amen. Let us pray.